Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Now also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. That's comicbookdaily.com.
Right.
I'm Walter DeRaglia, your co-host, and joined as always by Chris Owen, my illustrious co-host from Mohawk College.
That's right, and I'm the guy that's laughing at you.
Yes, not at me.
And you know, just as you were doing that opening, I was thinking to myself, one of these days I should do the opening.
And sure enough, it can't be worse than the one I'm doing.
I didn't want to say anything, but you know,
you just did.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
And Chris, as we all know, today is Wednesday, our favorite day of the week, because it is New Comic Book Day. So, Walter, what are some of the new comic books coming out today?
Excellent, Chris. Today is Wednesday. Some good releases coming out today,
okay.
Chris. Fans of comics should watch out for Dark Avengers number 10. Hits the stands today. This is probably Marvel's best or highest selling
ongoing title.
Avengers is huge. The whole Dark Reign thing is huge.
And this is all on the heels of the whole Secret Invasion.
Right.
And which is, didn't that come out like about 15 years ago?
12, I think. You're right. But Marvel's still riding it. And anything dark is good now, Marvel.
Well, you know, vampires, dark, zombies, dark. Halloween's coming.
Dark Wolverine, Dark Avengers, Dark, you name it. Dark Reign, if it has dark in it, it's good for Marvel now. But, you know, I'm telling Marvel right now, though, they got to think ahead.
Absolutely.
This whole dark thing, they're milking pretty good.
Yeah.
But they got to move forward with the whole thing.
You know what? And I hope they do, because, and I hope that moving forward isn't going to be Dark Reign 2 or Dark Avengers 2
Secret Wars 2.
Secret Wars. That was horrible.
That was terrible.
The Beyonder wearing the Michael Jackson jumpsuit
thing.
I love it.
That was the best part. Okay. Moving on. Marvel also has Runaways Rock Zombies trade paperback coming out as the Digest
Rock Zombie?
Form. Rock Zombie.
Oh, sorry. Rock Zombie!
Let me recoup. How was that?
That was
B-52s. B-52s. Pass the tanning butter. Okay. All right. Anyway, like I said, Runaways, the new Digest Volume 9 is coming out. Rock Zombies today.
Excellent.
On the DC front, DC is hitting us with the Halloween special.
Oh, well, it is the time of the year.
Yes, it is the time of the year. And it's just some ghoulish stories, some serious, some camp.
Right.
But it's pretty good. And you know what? Marvel and DC traditionally have come out with the Christmas special, Halloween special.
Yep.
And I like them.
I do, too. You know what? And actually, I've got some friends that have been
bought,
I know, hard to believe.
Yes.
I know, especially when I sing like that.
Yes.
But I've got some friends that traditionally every year they buy the Christmas issues and they buy the Halloween issues, and you know, over the years they've been collecting them and reading them.
And they start fires with them.
Well, no, you know what? It actually becomes part of their thing. Like
they quite enjoy
them, and you know, and especially the Halloween ones, I think they're fun to do. And usually Marvel's actually generally Marvel's much better at doing some sort of Halloween things than DC.
Remember Marvel had that one of my favorites, showing my age here, but the mid-70s there. The
Son of Satan.
No. The Treasury Christmas grab bag.
Oh, yeah. I used to love that.
That was great. And it's good to see Marvel and DC paying homage to these little holidays and stuff.
Hey, I got a quick, as I'm the hit comic history professor here.
Yes, you are.
Did you know?
No.
Do you remember the comic Contest of Champions by Marvel?
Yes, I do.
Did you know that actually started out as an Olympic Treasury edition, but at the time, the United States was boycotting the Olympics in Russia.
Right.
So they took that comic idea and made it into the first limited issue comic series, which became Contest of Champions.
Oh, I did not know that.
Which was a 3-issue miniseries, and it was the first limited series.
I bow to you, Chris.
Well, you know.
Amazing.
That's
amazing.
Right. I do what I can.
Okay, good. And listen, JLA 38 coming out of DC as well. Today, Justice League enjoying good success with this new run.
Yes, absolutely.
They're getting some great artists.
Yep.
Mark Bagley's in on this. Andy Kubert does a variant cover.
Cool.
It's a good title. It's a good series. JLA, you know what? I've always thought, Chris, I don't know about you, but I've always thought that I don't know. DC isn't getting as much out of JLA as they should.
No, they really
are. This aren't. Is the powerhouse yeah, team of their of yep. their house yep. there. So, yep.
Well, and you know what's funny? They should be getting more out of it. There should be more exposure. You know, they've got the greatest heroes of all time in that group,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, which is one of the reasons why they created the whole new Avengers, right? Because
right.
Marvel was saying, well, okay, you know, JLA has all the best heroes in their group. How come, mm-hmm. how come Marvel doesn't have all the best heroes in their group? So,
right.
You know,
so but Marvel did that, and that whole dynamic is driving Marvel right
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely. Marvel, like the spearhead of Marvel
yeah.
is Avengers driven.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
But the spearhead of DC is not
no.
JLA driven.
No, it's so that's still Batman and right. Superman, yes. right? You know, but
okay.
Hopefully they'll change that.
Hopefully next time they'll play up to par.
This time we lost, but last time, next time we'll win.
Right.
Right.
Chris, now that we've dispensed with today's new releases, and by the way, please head to your local comic shop and check out all today's new releases, because that was just a small smattering.
Yes.
And support your local comic shop. But now that we've dispensed with the new releases for today, let's jump into some industry news.
Yes, into my favorite part of the show.
Yes, yes. Chris, I'm going to start with there's some Diamond comic distributor figures.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. For a change.
Yes. And, well, no, I mean, it's good to see comic sales were up 12%.
Get out.
Over last September.
That's good.
September.
That's very good.
Which was very good.
Yes.
And for the whole third quarter, they were actually up 7%.
You know, that's really encouraging, because especially in this time, this so-called recession that we're in, maybe we've emerged from it. I don't really know where we're supposed to be at right now,
mm-hmm.
but certainly comic books are a luxury-type item that people don't necessarily have to have, right? So the fact that people are still buying it during the so-called hard times,
yes,
it's a great sign.
Yeah, I think you know, so, too. I think so, too. The out of the top 10, I just quickly grabbed the top 10 from the Diamond list. Dark first September anyway. Blackest Night, number 3 of the 8-part miniseries, was number 1 with 140,000 plus issues sold. Captain America Reborn at number 3 of 5 was
right.
second. Batman and Robin 4 was third.
Right.
Green Lantern 46. The Blackest Night tie-in was fourth.
Cool.
What I liked about this, and I'm just gonna state my point here, is 6 of the top 10 were DC titles, and 5 of those, I believe, were tied into the Blackest Night. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the DC guys are pure kind of story, traditionally,
yes.
hardcore comic guys. They're not really, you know, like Marvel can be affected. Like you can get a lot of jump ons to Marvel.
Yes,
like you can
yes,
get a lot of
yes.
guys going, oh, Secret War.
Yeah, yeah, jump yeah. On yeah, absolutely.
But DC guys are like core guys.
Yeah.
And they're coming in strong for
yes,
DC with this
yes,
Darkest Night
yeah,
thing. This
yeah.
Darkest Night thing is yeah. doing incredibly yeah. well for them.
A lot of DC guys don't necessarily jump onto the bandwagons.
No, they're you know, hardcore.
They're pretty hardcore. Yeah. And this whole Darkest Night thing, or sorry, the Blackest Night thing.
Blackest really, Night,
is,
sorry.
Blackest yeah,
Night.
Is really driving a lot of the DC business right now.
Yes, yes it is. Now, on the graphic novel front, they're actually down a bit. Graphic novel sales declined 2% September over September. And what they're saying is if you wait in the Watchmen frenzy of last year...
I was going to say, yeah, you know what? There was a lot of hype over a lot of various graphic novels. You know, Watchmen was a big, huge powerhouse in the graphic novel department last year, as well as anything that had to do with Batman or the Joker.
Yeah,
was still,
last year
was still hot on the trails of
because,
the movie.
Yeah, you're
know.
Right. Like Killing
so,
Joke,
Killing Joke,
yeah,
and
right, right.
The Joker, like the one with Brian Azzarello's
yes,
graphic novel.
Yes, yes, yes.
And basically, anything Batman, Joker related was pretty hot.
Right.
So, you know what? I'm not shocked that they're down. In fact, I'm a little bit pleased that they're only down by 2%.
Yes. Well, you know what's great to see? What's great to see is the top 2 selling graphic novels were Dark Horse graphic novels. You know?
That
was Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
And Umbrella Academy.
You know what's interesting about that is that I thought you were going to say something that had to do with Star Wars.
Right.
Because you said there are 2 Dark Horse graphic novels, and immediately I thought, Star Wars, because Star Wars was one of the huge franchises that Dark Horse uses.
Yes.
And it hadn't even occurred to me. Buffy, maybe, but Umbrella Academy wasn't even like in the in my thought.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's fantastic.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. I mean, and you follow it up with, you know, non-traditional, you know, DMZ from DC.
Yeah.
Wonderful Wizard of Oz from Marvel. Savage Sword of Conan again from Dark Horse.
Wonderful Wizard of Oz? Wasn't
well, the Marvel, they interpreted the whole Oz story into a graphic novel.
And that was in...
Yeah.
Really?
In September. It actually sold almost 5,000 units.
I know. I think Roy Thomas has a hand in doing a lot of those, those sort of reinterpretations, reimagining of those sort of classic stories. And that's fantastic.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's good news.
That's
great.
That's good news. All right, Chris, we're going to move on to another topic, another story I read with interest. Apparently, Wizard Entertainment, who puts on those shows in Philadelphia, in
Chicago,
I think in L.A.
They had one in Boston for a little while.
Well, apparently, they're going head-to-head with the New York, those Harris promotions.
Oh, okay, right.
Harris... what is it called? Harris Entertainment.
Harris Promotions or something.
Yeah,
they had the show in New York. They have the new show in New York.
And next October.
And next October. It was started in the first couple of years. It was in February.
Right.
The first year it was in February.
Right.
Then it was in October. And
They announced the show. Their schedule now is the big Chicago show for them is in April or May.
Right.
April.
Right.
And then their New York show is in October.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, they're... Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I was gonna say.
So, my point is, Wizard has just announced that they will put on a New York show the exact same date as the Reed New York Comic Con.
Harris.
Yeah, Harris. Sorry, the Harris New York Comic Con. So, October 8th to 10th. 2010, and you and I both plan on being down in New York for the Reed show.
We just talked about this.
Yeah, and apparently we're going to go to two shows.
Hold on. You got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding you.
Are you telling me that... Okay, so Harris, who put on the new New York show.
Right.
Because it's not the Big Apple show. I guess I want to distinguish between the two, because of the Big Apple show and there's the New York show.
Well, it's Wizard that bought the Big Apple show, Chris. And they're now staging it on the same date as the new Reed.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it's big, huge fist fight, basically.
Well, that's ridiculous because you know what? There's only so many comic book people to go around, especially in New York City.
Yeah, but you know what? Business is business, and cutthroat is cutthroat.
Yeah, that's still ridiculous.
I think Wizard is
if they were really smart, Wizard should have had the show the weekend before. So that anybody that wanted to go to the show would get all excited about going and go to that show, and then by the time the weekend goes afterwards, and nobody would have any money.
You know,
left.
You've been to too many Hobby Star shows. That's your inside joke. Yeah. Sorry, people. Okay, so I don't know. I mean, I think Wizard is trying to.
Wow, I'm shocked.
I'm shocked too. It's basically there's going to be one winner come out of and one loser. The loser will lose the show in New York.
But as you said, you know what's going to be great is you and I had just talked about going to the show.
Yeah.
And now we get to go to two shows.
Two shows, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be incredible. And you know what? And on our show, when we come back, we'll report which one was the better one. All right, good. What else do we have? Oh, Chris. Let's see. Oh, young Peter DeCourcy from Blue Beetle Comics in Barrie dug out some news for me on the new Green Lantern movie.
Oh, right, with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. So he's saying Sinestro, according to Chud.com.
Yes.
Will be play. According to AintItCoolNews.com.
Right.
Let me get this here. Jackie Earle Haley,
okay,
who played Rorschach, I believe.
Yeah, he played Rorschach in the Watchmen movie.
Right.
Yeah.
He's going to be Sinestro.
Oh,
right.
You know, he'd be great. I thought he did a great job as Rorschach. Very, very convincing about sort of a weird, demented, sort of strange character. And I think he'd be great as Sinestro.
Right. But Chud.com
yes.
is saying that a guy named Hector Hammond has been picked to play Sinestro. So that hasn't played out yet, but there's a lot of, I guess my point is here, there's a lot of activity on the net on who will play Sinestro.
Right,
Sinestro is key
absolutely
to this new Green Lantern.
You know, again, going back to theories about comics, you know, in order to have a great comic hero, you have to have a great comic villain. And, like, for example, The Flash would not be nearly as much fun to read without his rogues gallery, without Captain Cold, without the Mirror Master, with all these different characters. Because, you know, it's just a guy that runs flat, runs fast, right?
Right.
Whereas you get a guy, you know, all of a sudden...
Heck, I run fast.
Well, relatively. Right. But, you know, so you get a cool hero who makes... when you have a lot of really great villains, it makes them that much cooler.
Right.
And so, and my point is, in order to have a good story about Green Lantern, you have to have a good villain.
Good villain. Good point. Good point.
Why don't you ruffle some more newspapers there?
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm just trying to go through. Yeah. I'm trying to lead into my next story.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Eloquently.
Well,
you ruined that for me.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, it's what I do.
Some sad news from the comic world. The great, great George Tuska has died at the age of 93.
Do you know, I actually have... Hey, you know what? I have a sketch by George Tuska of Daredevil.
I can one-up you on that, but go ahead.
Oh, really?
No, go ahead. Which sketch do you have of Daredevil?
What do you mean?
I mean, do you have, like, was it from a... Oh, it's just a sketch.
Just a sketch. Right. I met him at a Detroit con, like, 10 years ago.
Right.
And I got him to do a sketch of Daredevil for me.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Now, go ahead and one-up me.
Well, no, actually, you got one-up on me because you still have yours.
Oh.
I used to own, stupidly...
Used to.
Yeah, used to. Pages 2 to 23 of Luke Cage Hero for Hire number 1.
Yeah, why did you ever sell those?
I'm an idiot, that's why. Well. So, I did not have the cover, and I did not have the splash, which is kind of that first page when you open a comic.
You at least need the splash.
Yeah, and I didn't have those, and I don't know. Last year, or 2 years ago, whenever it was, I did end up selling those things, which I've had for about 20 years, and I regret now. But that's my kind of connection with George Tuska. Great work.
I still have my sketch.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris.
You know what? I will say that, you know, he's a little older in his sketching ability, and he made me a very thick Daredevil. That's all I got to say.
Nice.
It looked like he had gained a few pounds.
Now, you know what, though? He's also drawn, like, all the great Marvel characters.
Oh, absolutely,
Captain America, Iron Man, Luke Cage, obviously, but a true legend.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And a very nice guy. When I met him, it was a true honor to meet the guy. Very, very a nice guy, very honorable, like, really, really great guy. And I remember he asked me if he wanted me to personalize it. And
I said, no, I want to sell that on eBay tomorrow.
Actually, you know what? I did say no, but I hadn't even thought about selling it. And then he said, well, that's okay. You'll get more money for it without the name later on.
Oh, that
hurt. even he was thinking that, hey, maybe one day I want to sell it.
Right.
But, you know, it's nice that, you know, it hadn't even occurred to me, but, you know, he was thinking that way.
Sure it hadn't, Chris.
Honestly, what am I, some sort of shyster?
Okay, Chris, now... What better segue into our, unfortunately, the passing of George Tuska is our segue into today's topic.
Famous people who are dead.
No.
Oh, sorry. No. Go ahead.
What I'm going to do, I've got a surprise for young Chris today. I'm going to, it may be the new a new feature on our show, but I might call this segment Stump the Chump.
Okay.
Or Should This Guy Be Teaching Our Youth? segment.
I'm really scared as how this is going to go.
So, as you know, Chris Owen is a professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College, and he teaches young, aspiring people that want to get into the comic book industry. So, I thought, as some sort of litmus test of some sort, we can test Chris on his knowledge of comic book artists for today.
Okay.
And
go easy.
And it's my promise and my word that I have not forewarned Chris.
I swear to God, this is all brand new information to me.
Of this. So I have 25 artists listed. These are artists that spanned, you know, the 7 decades of comic dumb that we all know from the superhero era on.
All right.
And all I'm looking for, Chris, from you is some sort of acknowledgement that you know these people. Preferably, right. You know, some work that they've done.
Okay.
And some reaction to
okay,
them.
Okay, okay. Fair enough.
So,
fair enough.
Boy, I wish I had a pencil. Oh, I do have
there's a
pencil.
Oh, there's a pen. There happens to be a pen lying on the floor here. Let me just grab that. There we go.
In the studio.
Well, that's what I... Yeah, of course it's in the studio.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
All right, Chris. Do you remember...
I'm already worried.
Okay. Do you remember when... on Second City... No, not on Second City. On WKRP in Cincinnati... When Les Nessman was interviewing some guy he thought was a communist or something. And,
right.
Because Les is sort of touch.
Yes, basically. Yes, yes.
This is, I'm forewarning that I may be out of touch with some of these artists. That he asked the guy, and he had to look at his paper and read. And,
right.
And the line was, did you ever know one Elvis Presley? Okay.
Right, right, okay. All right. All right, go ahead.
So I'm going to start way back, Chris.
Okay.
Lou Fine.
Lou Fine. Yeah. He was part of the he owned a studio with Will Eisner in the Eisner no, that's the Eisner Iger studio. Sorry. With Lou Fine. You know what? I know he did stuff from the Golden Age.
Golden Age, good, yeah, good. Yeah. Golden Age is good.
Okay.
He did some Doll Man back in the day.
Right,
and,
right, okay.
And he actually did a spirit run for Eisner.
Oh, that's what I was
so
thinking.
So that
of.
Is
okay.
Definitely
okay.
A good for you.
Okay,
that's
okay.
A yay.
Okay, okay. All right,
very
good,
Chris. I'm impressed.
All right, okay, good.
All right, let's go. Jim Steranko.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, sorry.
He was he started writing comics at like the age of 16. He wrote Legion of Superheroes, and then eventually he was like editor in chief of DC Comics, and he wrote all kinds of stuff, Stardust or something like that. A lot of space, like Silver Surfer, a lot of space type stuff.
Okay, Steranko. Did he have a famous?
Oh, Jim Steranko. I was thinking of somebody else. Sorry,
okay.
I was thinking of Jim Starlin. Sorry.
Okay, yes.
Steranko. He did, Nick Fury.
Yes.
He did. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. He did all those psychedelic covers. Sorry.
Right. Excellent. 60s artist. Good.
Yeah.
All right, Chris. Gene Colan.
Oh, that's easy. Tomb of Dracula.
Oh, Tomb of Dracula. Did a great run of Tomb of Dracula.
Yeah.
I think issue 20 to 40 was his. Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, I'm going to get a tough one for you here.
All right.
Howard Chaykin.
Howard Chaykin. Probably best known for his work on something called Black Hawk. It was a three-issue miniseries in the
80s. I remember
that.
Deluxe format.
And he also did The Big Black Kiss. It was a sort of
like
an X-rated porn comic.
Yeah. You know that.
Yeah, he did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang more recently as well.
Okay, Chris, you're impressing the heck out of me so far.
All right.
John Romita Sr., an easy one.
On.
I thought I'd give you an easy
Spider-Man.
One.
Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
John Romita Sr. did a great run of Spider-Man. He did. Who did he follow?
Oh, Steve Ditko.
Yeah. Now, to everybody out there, I've left out the real easy ones like Jack Kirby, Steve Ditko, Wally Wood, Frank Frazetta, even Jim Lee and guys like that.
Sure.
Okay. Chris, Arthur Adams.
Oh.
That's a tough one.
Art Adams. You know what? I loved his run on Longshot. He did a great run on the X-Men. More recently, he did stuff on... I think it was called Angel and the Ape for Dark Horse Comics. It was great. I have a Gumby comic by him.
Okay, Chris. Now you're really starting to scare me.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
Any of the ones on your list there?
So far, you've got all check marks. You have not got one wrong.
Okay,
yet.
Good.
Okay, so far, hey, send your money into Mohawk without a worry. David Mazzucchelli.
First of all, David Mazzucchelli.
Mazzucchelli, thank you.
My favorite work, although he did a lot of work on Daredevil with Frank Miller, my favorite work from him was Batman Year One with Frank Miller.
Yes.
Afterwards, he also did a short-lived miniseries called Rubber Blanket.
Man, that's good, Chris. Excellent. So was it David Mazzucchelli?
Mazzucchelli.
Okay, Mazzucchelli. All right, I'm going to stump you now. Murphy Anderson.
Oh, Murphy Anderson. Didn't he do Silver Surfer? And I mean, I could be wrong.
I think you might be wrong on this one.
Oh, okay. Hold
Murphy
on.
Anderson.
Batman?
Definitely Batman.
Yeah.
What era?
70s? 1970s? Early 70s? Late 70s?
You know what? I might have to give you an X on this one. Oh. Murphy Anderson was one of the staple artists of the DC 50s and 60s, the whole Batman detective, the whole Anderson Infantino.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that
Flash.
Whole thing.
He did the Flash.
Flash, yeah. Right. Okay. Mystery in Space, Hawkman, and stuff. Okay, one wrong. Not bad.
All right.
Not
bad. Okay.
Not bad. All right, I got a good tough one for you here. Dave Stevens.
Oh, come on. That's easy.
How is it easy?
He created the Rocketeer.
Yes, he did.
He is partially known for the resurgence of the whole Betty Page craze.
He is?
Absolutely, because Betty Page was one of the characters in the Rocketeer comics.
Good Lord. I didn't even have that, and I was looking for the notes.
Yeah, huge Dave Stevens fan.
Good for you. All right, okay. I guess I'll give him a check mark on that one.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. Let's see who else we have here. Oh, I got a tough one here for you, Chris.
Okay.
Hold on. Maybe I should get the right page going in front of me. Oh, I see.
Oh, there you go.
Back.
It's on the other side.
Mike Caluta.
Oh, Mike Caluta. He's probably best known for The Shadow. However, he also did Madame Xanadu comic book as well for DC.
Very good. Very good. All right. Mike Caluta, you got that one.
Yeah.
Bill Ward.
Oh, come on. Bill Ward, most famous for the 50s comics he did, like the little magazines, but probably the most famous for Torchy.
Torchy, yeah. Very good girl arty stuff guy.
Yeah,
yeah. Right, very good, Chris. You're impressing the heck out of me. Mike Mignola. Mignola.
Yeah, I know you're joking. You must be joking when you're saying that.
Mignola.
Mike Mignola. Yeah.
Mignola.
He's the creator of Hellboy.
Creator of Hellboy.
And he did many covers for, he did the six-issue miniseries for DC called Cosmic Odyssey, as well as he did a lot of covers for X-Factor and X-Force and that kind of thing.
Slow down, Cowboy. Don't forget to breathe.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. In other words, I'll give you that one. Kurt Swan.
Oh, Kurt Swan.
That's a tough
very famous Superman and probably more Supergirl artist, actually.
Right.
But, yeah.
Good for you. I thought I would have got you on the Kurt Swan. Yeah. Okay. Bill Stanko...
Bill Sienkiewicz?
Sienkiewicz, yes.
Bill Sienkiewicz, probably his best-known work was for Moon Knight when he started in the 70s with Marvel. However, he went on to do a bunch of stuff. He actually did Jimi Hendrix comic books,
which you should know about. Yes, I do. I'm a Hendrix fan. Wow, Chris, that's impressive. Okay, I got this one. You can't get this one.
Okay.
Nick Cardy.
Nick Cardy, he's one of my favorite artists of all time. I have a whole sketchbook by him. He did famous probably most for Teen Titans and created.
Yeah,
he
you're
created,
right. Teen
created
Titans.
Wonder Girl.
Okay, good for you. How about Steve Rude?
Oh, Steve Rude. He started with Nexus and he did
Nexus,
a bunch of other
stuff.
Yeah.
God, Chris. All right, this one goes way back, so I'm not sure you'll get this one.
Okay,
Al Feldstein.
No, I know you're joking.
What is it?
Al Feldstein?
Feldstein?
I actually talked with him a couple years ago. He was one of the original writers. He wrote all of the EC comics in the 50s, and he was the editor-in-chief of Mad Magazine for about 30 years.
Good God, Chris. All right. Okay.
I'd love to tell the story that I have about him over the radio, but I'd get censored.
Right. Okay. Well, let's not then. All right, hold on. I got a few more.
Is that it? You got
I think a couple of them are easier. Joe Kubert, I think you'll get this
Editor-in-chief for Marvel, yeah.
Yeah, Joe Kubert.
Oh, sorry, Joe Kubert, not Joe Quesada. Yeah. Joe Kubert, Sergeant Rock.
Yes, Sergeant Rock. Yeah. John Buscema.
Avengers, Captain America, whatever you want to say. John Buscema has been around for ages.
Yeah,
Conan.
Conan fame.
Yeah.
Good work. A couple more here before we run out of time. For some reason I got John Byrne and I shouldn't have had
John Byrne. Well, he's been around for a long time. Fantastic Four, X-Men.
Right. All right. Enough of you.
All right.
Bernie Wrightson.
Oh, Bernie Wrightson, he's amazing. He wrote a great graphic novel of Frankenstein. He did a lot of the Swamp Thing comics.
Very good. Very good. Okay, let me see. I got some tough ones coming up, Chris.
Okay.
Russ Heath.
Oh, Russ Heath. He did a lot of Enemy Ace and war kind of comics.
You're right.
Stuff
he
like
did
that.
A lot of war comics from the DC
from the
in
DC,
the 60s
yeah,
and 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
Good God. Okay, the two toughest ones are in the end here.
Okay, hurry up.
We got Matt Baker.
Oh, Matt Baker. That's Phantom Lady.
Yeah.
And he was a good girl artist.
Good girl artist, yes.
Yep.
Phantom Lady, good girl artist.
Four
and we're going to finish with Gray Morrow.
Oh, Gray Morrow.
Yeah. Ah, Gray Morrow.
You know what? I can't think of the name of the there's a girl that he created. I can't think of
what
her
publisher
name.
Did he do a lot of covers for?
Probably DC.
No. Gold Key. All those funky ass covers.
Okay, so
23 out of 25 people. Young Chris has got 92% on artist test here. Send your kids to Mohawk without fear. Chris Owen knows his stuff.
Well, I appreciate the accolades. That was a lot of fun, and I'm going to have to come up with something similar for you next week. On that note, we really have run out of time here, unfortunately, but if you happen to have an artist that you want to try to stump me on, please send it via email to chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox at bigbycomics.com. Go out, support your local comic book retailers, and have a great day.
See you next week.